Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. We got the three of the four members of the Dream Team this week. We got Tony and Ryan. What's going on, boys?
Living the dream.
The Dream Team or living the dream?
Yeah, both.
Check them both.
Confirm both on that.
Confirmed.
All right, folks. So we got some good stuff to talk about this week, as always. So one of our favorite topics to talk about, new man in charge over at Twitter. So it looks like they're going to the subscription model for the blue check marks, which I think is pretty fantastic, but we'll talk about it.
You're the only one. I've never seen so much complaining about a monthly recurring fee in my entire life.
When we get to it, I'll.
All right. So hopefully it cuts out some of the riffraff is what I'm hoping for. And then, you know, Biden doing Biden things all week. You know, basically screwing things up worse at the gas pump. So we'll talk about that and his awesome plans to give away more money. And this week we'll talk about canceled one I saw this week. Our boy Luke Bryan came into some hot water for, you know, supporting hurricane relief. So we'll talk about that as well.
Yeah, and then maybe one last topic on, we got three more months of this year. Where do we end? Where do we end with the market?
Stay tuned
prediction.
For that, because that's important information to know.
Predictions coming in hot. All right. So Twitter, you got to pay for those blue check marks, right? To be verified. I don't even know how you get verified, really. I mean, don't you have to like keep on asking them, like, hey, or do you get to a certain number and you're verified? I mean, that's what I always thought, but then I saw people with 20,000, they're not verified. I've seen people with 5,000 followers and they're verified. Like, it makes no sense to me.
Media affiliation, I think, or are you an activist? You can get verified with relatively no following whatsoever. Right. So if you're a real person and people like you, it's a little bit more difficult, I think. So. Business tie-in, politician, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I heard right off the rip is he wanted to charge $20 a month. I thought I was like, wow. Like,
that's going to weed it out.
Beat the door down with that price. Like, I mean, I don't even know where that'd start at. I think it's a good idea to generate revenue. They need to do that. I don't know where price point is.
Yeah, well, Stephen King did not like the 20. That's for sure.
I don't think a lot of people would, to be honest. That just seems high. So for what I always thought was like kind of a free media, free voice kind of media, it's Twitter.
So it settled at 8. Is that right? I think it settled at 8 over the last couple of days.
Is it even in place yet?
I don't think as of right now, but it seems like talk has hovered around $8 a month, and that's still not good enough, by the way. Everyone that had their blue check mark is now upset they have to pay for it to maintain it. So,
yeah, it looks like our boy Mick Foley got off the platform when
the wrestler,
Well, not only him, but I don't know if you guys saw, but
Bill S. Preston Esquire from Bill and Ted's.
Yes. He's gone.
Oh, man. Like, just gone forever? Just like that?
Canceled?
He canceled himself. He canceled himself. Twitter. I mean, that's a loss, you know?
I mean, what do you think, though? If you really look at a celebrity's activity, most of them are not active. They just have a Twitter account with millions of followers and they don't do anything with it.
Well, until they have a movie and then they promote the movie.
That's the interesting rub. I mean, like the people most in place to influence haven't been using the service. And so what do you do, you know, when the people with tens of millions of followers, Mark spoke about this on the news too. It's like, there's also the incentive not to say anything.
Yeah.
Because, hey, how did that go for Kanye and all his followers?
What can I say right now to like ruin my career? Yeah, I'm just going to sit on my hands and not say anything.
At any given moment, there's five things I could say. So it's like, you know, I'm incentivized not to tweet.
Right. Hey, what's a lovely day outside? End of tweet. Okay, moving on. Oh, man. So I don't know. I don't know what that price point is, but he is bringing it back. I don't know. Like, then there's something that he wants to bring back. The Vine?
I heard that, too. I don't even know what that is.
That was a long time ago.
Pre-TikTok.
It's pre-TikTok, and then TikTok stole the basic premise of – it was just little short clips.
Yeah.
You know, 5-second, 10-second clips of people doing stupid stuff. Oh, TikTok's here. Now Vine went out of business. I thought they just went out of business because TikTok was more popular.
Yeah, I was surprised to see how little Twitter paid for Vine because I joke, I didn't know what Vine really was, but they bought it for $30 million and that seems like a steal. It had a following. I mean, like it launched, I think, the Paul brothers and Tommy Lee's wife. You know, it was a pretty big thing, I guess, with the... Here's the get off my lawn segment right here with the kids these days. They were doing the rides and then they're doing the TikToks and what. No, but it seemed like a reasonable price point. And they canceled it like shortly thereafter because they said there was no revenue to be had and it was more of a societal impact kind of thing. Those 6-second videos had a profound impact on society or whatever.
I guess. Then you get TikTok. Yeah, it's just the same thing.
So. I'm cool with moving away from TikTok. I mean, that's
I don't even participate with TikTok. Get me off your lawn.
Yeah,
I've seen you practice and dance moves. Don't you know?
Hey, when we for our client event when we had the boomerang, I was the boomerang king. Man. I was doing big things.
This is true. I can confirm that.
It was a boomerang rookie. Yeah. So anyway,
did you see Elon? So he's been changing his profile pic every day. You know, now he's got it as like the Twitter hotline complaints operator with like a little picture of him when he was a kid, you know, holding the phone.
So, he just paid a lot of money for Twitter, like probably twice as much as he should have, is basically the rumor on the street.
It's worth $54 a share now.
So how upset are Tesla, you know, the Tesla stockholders, you know, people that just love Tesla and that's all they own and they own $10 million of it. Like, how do they feel about him taking the eye off the ball over there?
Well, pretty strong cult.
Right.
I don't think they're going to get mad at Elon.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you happen to see, well, it was fake, but did you happen to see the guy that was fired from Twitter?
Yes.
I mean, how awesome.
That was hilarious.
With the $20 million parachute?
No, they had like some comedians show up outside of the Twitter offices and act like they were data engineers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like moaning. CNBC and Bloomberg actually ran with the story. But the guy was like saying the most absurd. One was like holding up a Michelle Obama autobiography and saying this wouldn't have happened under her. The other one was saying that like he wasn't going to be able to afford his Tesla now. And that he's sad and he had to go home and talk to his husband and wife about the situation. And they went with the story. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, Twitter's off and running. I'm sure there will be more action-packed things to go on. But, you know, I think Mark said it the best. You know, he came in, cleaned house, got rid of some of the thought police, you know, and hopefully make it more of, you know.
Free market.
Free speech. You know, what Mark called it, his charitable contribution to free
society.
Speech.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can see people have been shadow banned. Like, that's a real thing. People have been saying in the last week, like, hey, I haven't seen any of your tweets in 5 years, and now I see you. It's a miracle, right? I think probably the most interesting fallout, did you see the big move up in Dogecoin?
I wanted to look. How much is it up?
It doubled in one day. I haven't looked since then. I think that was...
You're going to have to pay for your blue check with Dogecoin?
I'm going to have to ask what Dogecoin... No, I know what Dogecoin is.
Yeah. It's the future, if you're wondering. it is the future. I will be buying stuff in the future.
He posted like a picture of a Shiba Inu with a Twitter cape on it, you know, a couple days after, so...
I did notice it was mooning, right? But I did not pay attention to where it was before and after the
I still have some Sheeb as well. Ooh. So they don't call me Diamond Hands for nothing. Got a little Dogecoin left and a little Sheeb left. So yeah. It doubled and now my account's up to like $600.
Oh. Congrats.
Yeah.
So not bad. It was at $6. That's why you didn't sell it.
Exactly. Just let it sit there and see if it goes to the moon in a couple years.
You don't want to sell it because the IRS will come and audit you for that, for those gains if you don't put them on your...
Yeah, like 1 year before the 90,000 new agents come in. So, I mean, it might not be a bad idea to sell this year.
How many have they actually hired? Like 4? Are they going to find 75,000 employees?
They were doing weapons training. Did you see that?
I saw that.
Oh, my God. Well,
it looked like an SNL skit.
Man, maybe the future is investing in Smith & Wesson since they got to buy 87,000 guns.
I don't mean to make a joke, but did you see like the agent? I mean, I kind of felt more confident taking them with the gun than they should feel. You know, they were like not.
Yeah,
they weren't very intimidating.
I mean, good luck trying to find a tax expert who likes guns.
Yeah,
because it's a prerequisite.
We're going to give it the old college effort next year, I suppose.
Yes, you know, yes. I was talking to one of my personalities, tax firm and stuff. He goes, I can barely fill anyone that has ever even seen a 1099, let alone like, how are you going to find 87,000 of them? Like, good luck, dude.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, moving on. So Biden has a new plan, yet an old plan to help us at the pumps. Tax them.
Right? That should do the trick.
So there's on Twitter, I saw this meme, and I love this. So you got the press secretary. It's that Karine Jean-Pierre. And the best comments always come from that Peter Ducey.
Oh yeah,
he's a Fox commentator.
Yep. You know,
he's like tall, blonde haired guy. I mean, he just gives it to her real, man. It's awesome. And the one was, he goes, why would big oil lower the prices? You know, because she started off saying, you know, we need them to lower the prices to help the American people. And he's like, why would they do that? You're trying to put them out of business. Like, why would they help you? They want you out of office. So they're, and you know, if you're still a president and you got $6 gas, good luck, you know, with winning an election. So
absolutely. And then add in the fact that it's a global marketplace and like one specific oil company can't really, you know, it's just an absurd notion that we could, that the tax is going to help is the most absurd of notions. But I mean, what can they really even do?
I mean, if you want them to change their ways, you don't cut into their profits. If you want them to become cleaner, they need that money for R&D. I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways you can attack them, quote unquote, to get them to become cleaner, you know, a clean energy type of thing. But at the end of the day, fossil fuel is going to run the world for the foreseeable future. Everything's built out of that.
Interesting timing, right? There's like an election coming up or whatever, you know, it's great to throw the crosshairs on big oil a week and a half before. So you think they're going to go through with it if, I mean, they don't have the votes to do it.
I don't even know how you would implement that.
Yeah, well.
I mean, the name of the show is The Capitalist Investor. And this guy, who is the president of the United States, says they're going to pay a higher tax on their quote-unquote excess profits. What does that even mean? So you're going to tell me the government is going to tell you how much profit is okay, and if you exceed that, you're going to be taxed at a higher rate.
Do we have a number for that? What's excessive, right? What's the definition?
Well, yeah.
I think they did. Interestingly, it's weird, and I don't know how it would be applicable, but they're going to take an average of the cost of oil from 2015 to 2019. Jeez. Time periods that don't really apply. It's such an odd calculus that they're coming up with, and so again, I don't know. You know, in fairness, though, I mean, the oil companies have had quite the year. You know, it's been a hell of an investment if you're an investor, and they have had some pretty significant profits. So,
how about 2020 when they had when a barrel was negative? It's like, man,
episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Have you seen that one where it's back in 2000 and eight or something like that? So it was when, you know, the last Democrat was in office and gas prices were really high. They're going to put gas into these giant barrels and then wait for the price to go up and then sell that gas to other people. Yeah. It was hilarious.
But that's another thing, you know. Our administration is selling our strategic petroleum reserves. And they're like, don't worry, we're going to buy it back when it gets down to 60 or 70. A barrel.
That's when,
like,
is that going to happen?
Are you insane? Like, why would you?
Their policy decisions have reduced the supply of oil.
Yeah,
that's it.
When we turned off the spigots here, you have the middle, you know, the Mid East, or you know, like the Saudi Arabia is like they're licking their chops. They're like, thank you. Like, I can charge whatever I want now because you guys turned off the spigot over here.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. We no longer have nearly as much control over the prices as we used to because right. we're completely dependent
right.
on
we're
other sources.
We're controlling it for a short term as we pillage the reserves.
Right.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, awesome.
Good stuff.
I should point out, you know, from a historical context, as is often the case with Joe Biden, we have tried things like this before. We tried it with Jimmy Carter. Guess what? It was not a resounding success. The tax revenue wasn't there. The cost of oil, it cured nothing, and it probably exacerbated much. Yeah. So it's like, hey, you know, I guess it's 40 years. Maybe we forgot the lesson, but let's give it another crack, you know? Carter years.
If you don't study history, you're bound to repeat it, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Here we go.
That Sonny in Philadelphia, that was the appearance of Charlie Kelly's oilman character,
yes.
correct? I'd rather have that guy running the energy policy.
Or at least doing the press conferences. Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't eat too many blood capsules, you know?
All right. Where do you guys, changing subjects, where do you guys think we're going between now and the end of the year?
I was waiting for your answer, and then I'm just going to piggyback. It's hard to call the future.
I was going to agree.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, let me ask you guys a question. Have we in the last month, I should say, because the market's been really good in the month of October, have we priced in a red wave and a dovish Fed? Like, everyone thinks they're going to pivot this meeting, which is happening today as we record this on Wednesday, and I think that's what has happened.
I think there's a compelling reason to believe that. I mean, we're up 5%, you know, in pretty much a month. And so I would concur completely. I mean, generally, you know, you're looking at 3% for a quarter. It's been a great month. And
yeah.
And you guys talked about it weeks ago and you kind of called it. I mean, so is there more to be priced in?
I think so. When you're pricing it in, doesn't the sell the news happen? I'm worried about that part.
Well, so I think there's an expectation that the Fed is going to come in a little. So 75 basis points, that's priced in. We know that. But I think there is exactly. I think there's an expectation that the Fed's going to come in a little dovish and at least kind of lay the framework for how we're going to slow the raises down. But if they don't, you know, I think you could see a sell off. I mean,
I that's what I'm thinking, you know, and then people are like, oh, don't forget the Santa Claus rally. I'm like, that's like in the last part of December.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, Amazon has already kind of issued guidance saying like, hey, maybe don't expect Santa Claus to be as nice this year.
Right.
So who knows if we even have that.
You're missing a couple of trinkets in the stocking, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that I'm worried about selling the news in the next week or two. Because if you just look at, it's so hard to hang your hat on something positive right now. You got the Fed. I mean, so the Fed fund rate typically needs to equal CPI or inflation.
Yeah.
And the Fed fund rates will be probably 4 after today. But CPI is somewhere around 6.5. They need to be equal, and actually the Fed fund rate should be above. So maybe they meet each other in the middle at 5, but
you said
so
that.
How do they
week,
get there?
I mean, I can
hear him say like, "Hey, we're going to do the next two bumps will be 50 bips rather than 75." I could hear that, but is that really a pivot? I don't know. And then there's still some good backwards-looking data,
right?
And the dude doesn't look forward. We know that.
And even if it's 50, I mean, like, I think there's people out there that expect, you know, kind of wording that's going to be 25. You know, we're really going to slow down. Yeah. So again, it's who has what expectations and. You know, where's the Fed going to land on that?
If he's looking at backwards data, there's nothing there. It's good. It's positive news. But if you start hearing these earnings calls and these and some of these companies like Amazon saying, hey, like things are slowing down.
Yep.
We're still growing, but just not at the clip that everyone's used to.
Yeah. And so that's the positive. I mean, what are the other positive catalysts? All we're hoping for is that the Fed comes in a little bit more dovish. What are the other positive catalysts? We think earnings are going to be good. Geopolitical, we're going to have a sudden peace all of the sudden.
Right.
China's going to behave rationally. I mean, commodities, thankfully, we did get a little bit of a reprieve. I mean, Russia just pulled out of that grain deal. That could have been terrible for commodities, and they're back in, but.
Like I said, I just think that this great rally in the month of October has come from news that is, it's being priced in. We will find out today when, you know, Powell talks for one thing, and then we'll find out next week if, you know, they there's a 70% chance, 69-70% chance that there's a red wave. Taking over the House is kind of already, you know, expected, and at the worst, a split Senate.
So I was going to say that that's probably the worst case scenario, I think, from the market's perspective. Now, everyone has different opinions, but, you know, the Senate, just because it's likely to go red, I mean, it could go blue. Funny things happen in close elections. So, you know, is that bad news then? You know, it's still split and the House has a check.
The gridlock is what we're looking for at this point. And, you know, that's if you're out there listening to us, like, that's what we're talking about. We're looking for gridlock in Congress. So, like, things slow down. Things aren't automatically just passed, right? So that's what we're expecting. That's what the market is expecting, and the market likes slow, predictable moves, and checks and balances is what creates that, you know, through our legislative system, basically.
Diamond hands. Yeah. So are the lows in for 2022? And I'm not talking about Dogecoin. I'm talking about the American stock indexes.
Well, the lows
indexes
are definitely in for Dogecoin. I can pretty much guarantee that. that was a joke, just in case anyone took that seriously. You know, I think, well, we've been saying it for a while now. I think all these, you know, dovish fans out there that we're going to get some dovish news, there's no way that's going to happen. There's no way it can. I saw the available jobs number tick up a little bit.
Yeah, Jolts was.
That's real bad. That is real bad for, you know, the rally based on the Fed pivoting. I just don't think it's going to happen. So, but I think most of that is already priced in. I do think you'll get a little bump from, you know, I don't know if it'll be a wave, but I think you'll have you'll definitely have a Republican House and probably about 51 Republicans in the Senate. At least I would say between 51 and 52 is likely. So, you know, I think you'll get a little bump from that. America's dying to spend money, as you can see from their credit card receipts lately. So, that's a tough call. But since you're putting me on the spot, on the record,
up or down,
I'm going to say we have hit the bottoms, and we'll finish the year right around 4,000 on the S&P.
I like that.
Yeah, and where are we at right now? About 39.50. Yeah.
We touched 39 last week, and now we sunk a little bit. So, okay. I'll be the cynic.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go low. Yeah, I think you're. I know. I think you made like really valid points. I mean, you've been making them for a while, but I would say I'd be happy with 3750 to 3800.
Yeah.
Yep. 3750 is the number. I've been saying all year long. I think that's the support, basically.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a catalyst to move the needle for the market, but, you know, Ryan, one of the notes you got here is like interesting take is the railroad airline pilot strike.
Well, that's just what we need, you know, more infrastructure.
Like we can't like flights are inflated 50 to 100% as it is right now. And you got 11,000 or are you got the, you know, these pilots that want to strike.
Yeah, Delta, pilots approved it. So, and then the railroad is seemingly kind of innocuous hang up. And they've been, you know, it's 2 months now that they're working on that. And, you know, if they're going to strike and get gains, though, wouldn't you rather do that under Biden, kind of the pro-labor? Oh, I grew up in the industrial parts of Pennsylvania, even though he's a Delaware guy.
Scranton,
whatever.
The electric city.
Yeah. So, you know, wouldn't you want to strike gains from him as opposed to Trump? I mean, like, historical context, the air traffic controllers did this with Reagan. It was kind of like one of the first defining moments in his presidency. He fired them all. So, you know, don't try to extract too much out of a tough guy, but Biden, I wouldn't call a tough guy by any means. He's quite the opposite. What about 2023? Too early to start thinking about that fun.
Pass.
Yeah. Take it a day.
let's see next what question. Happens. Yeah, let's get through this quarter.
Tony's only here so he doesn't get fined.
Yeah.
The one thing I did want to touch on, I did see Jim Cramer, you know, basically say everything's going to be okay, and then 8 minutes later say start selling everything.
That's the way to do it, right?
that was a question. What's up with that guy?
I'm starting to question his like.
That's smart, like a fox. In hindsight, should we be doing that? Like, say 3,600, you say 4,200, and we'll just forget the one happened after the fact, you know?
I give the guy's been talking. How many times has he covered every stock in the S&P 500 over his career? He's had to, right?
Yeah.
Probably several times. I mean, like, he's always kind of the.
He's seven for 500, you know? he's great.
Oh, I mean, he's just got a lot. You know, be pro or con on a stock. Like I don't envy that job.
Yeah.
Like you gotta bring the noise. Like, oh yeah, the stock's going down. Roar! I don't know.
All right. Well, let's finish up here with canceled. So this was a pretty huge story, actually. Luke Bryan, basically on stage in Florida, Jacksonville, I believe, right? And he invited Ron D up, Ron DeSantis, the governor, for an apparent, basically, you know, awareness of in a support of the hurricane relief effort. Obviously, a huge natural disaster, which everyone should be concerned about, whether who it doesn't matter who you vote for, seems to be something that you should support when fellow Americans are down and out. And basically, he just got dragged through the ringer. People basically saying he should be kicked off of his terrible television show. Sorry if you like that show, but man, whew. What happened to network television is all game shows. Anyway, I digress. So basically, they wanted him kicked off his show and they wanted him canceled. And it got to the point where Luke had to basically, release a statement saying, hey, man, I was just, you know, trying to support the hurricane relief effort. Sorry if you guys got mad. Sorry about it.
I'm actually pro. I'm pro cancel.
I have to say that is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. They all have to do it when you make a slight mistake. You know, you can't jeopardize your career. I think he does deserve to be canceled, by the way. Like, he's a Georgia guy. And he brought in the Florida governor before Georgia played Florida. You know, I don't.
Oh, that's a bad
move. I say cancel. Georgia people cancel. Absolutely.
SEC fans do not like that.
Yeah, that's no good.
They do not.
Yeah, I mean, what's his show? It's like the.
Is he the Voice?
The Voice, yeah.
Yeah.
They
blur. You know, when they've been on for 48 years and they just cycle talent to be judges.
Maybe he is
American Idol.
Yeah, I think he's American Idol. Yeah.
American Idol.
Oh, yeah.
The Voice is.
You guys acting like you don't.
Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, I think she's on there.
Is Adam Levine? He's canceled, right?
Oh, is he? Yeah, he has to be canceled.
He's on one of. I thought he was on.
He was on one of those. Yeah. Yep.
His DMs were embarrassingly. Like,
bro, everyone can see that, man. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's just to have to explain, like, hey, for disaster relief. Right. It's just unbelievable, man.
What it shows is just how much the world has changed. You know, obviously we're of the age of, you know, remembering 9/11 and all, you know, obviously the whole country came together to support each other. Regardless of political party. And that was when, you know, everyone in the media and entertainment was just ripping on George Bush 24/7. Everyone got over that pretty quick when we had to come together, and now it just doesn't happen. And it's sad, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know what something has to change. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what that catalyst is to
change
this. Sounds
like you're calling for another 9/11. It sounds like, right?
I don't know what the catalyst is.
Don't go down that YouTube rabbit hole.
I just don't know like what the catalyst is going to be to unite us again. It just feels like there's so much division.
Yeah.
It sucks.
All right.
We're good, man.
Good? All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. If you guys have any comments or questions, show topics, always hit us up at info@swpconnect.com. And, you know, I was thinking the other day, guys, I think we need to get some swag going again, start to get some more show ideas from everyone out there. So we'll look into that this week for the holiday season. But thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.